far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode,
we kick off the new decade by talking about Watchmen and Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker.
You got OBS set up and all that?
I have it. Everything set up. We are recording. We are live.
Okay, nice.
It is the second to last day. It's our last recording of 2019 of this decade.
New Year's Eve.
The eve of the eve of New Year's. And just think, every podcast episode we have ever done has been in this decade.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. Did we start in 2010 or 2011?
It was 2011.
Yeah, wow. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Almost 10 years.
We're right up on that. And then I think after 10, we should just probably go ahead and just retire. I don't know.
That's when you get your retirement benefits.
Yeah, I had that nice break being in Texas for Christmas, and I like to be back there again, but... I'm just kind of like, I'm thinking about it. It's like, man, like, what, like, do I want to retire or, like, should I? Or, I don't know. We just kind of keep doing what we do.
Well, we are going to retire at least from talking about Watchmen after this episode.
Oh, thank you, God. Yeah. I'll go ahead and do introduction. So this is the Anime of Yesteryear podcast. I guess Eve. New Year's Eve of special, or the last episode we record of 2019 and this decade. 2020 is upon us in 2 days. Mm-hmm. Or actually tomorrow night. And so we've got, I guess we can call this like our 9 episode, because we got the last episode of Watchmen, which is episode 9, and then we got Star Wars episode 9, Rise of the Skywalker, which I actually enjoyed. So
yeah. I guess we do Watchmen first, huh?
Well, yeah, let's get Watchmen knocked out. I saw that like more than 2 weeks ago, and I don't remember much of it. So
was it that long now?
I think roughly so. Like I saw it, like it was like a few days before I left to go to Texas for Christmas.
But, yeah, I think it's probably about 2 weeks ago now. But, yeah. So, do you even remember what happened in it? Like, I kind of don't.
Well, so, I just remember they set everything up regarding... They got Dr. Manhattan in a cage, and then Dale Gribble is like undercover as a white supremacist, and he meets up with Silk Spectre, and she's tied up, and then... Knight shows up to rescue her husband, who's Dr. Manhattan. And this is all orchestrated by the Oklahoma senator or whatever, because he's in charge of the 7th Cavalry, of course. And then they get in the freaking Asian chick. And the Asian chick is related to Adrian Veidt, because her mother... is the one that went into Adrian Veidt's office and self-injected herself with his semen that he, like, basically preserves in a coolant or whatever in a safe. And she basically has his child, so, like, she's got, like, this Asian chick. Or, you know, she has her child who's basically in charge of this, like, billion-dollar company for this watch or this clock or whatever. And she clones her mother, who is now her daughter, because she can... But then also the fact it has a lot of, like, flashbacks and stuff. So, like, the whole thing with Adrian Veidt going on, in the time frame of the show, all that stuff happens, like, a few years prior to this event. So, basically, Adrian Veidt gets out of his prison cell, and the Game Warden basically tries to stop him. And Adrian Veidt basically beats him up and kills him. And everyone wishes him luck because the message he writes from a few episodes prior regarding him going out to space and throwing dead bodies out there was a spell out, "Save me, daughter." That we now know what he actually wrote, because it was a satellite that came there. But this was all pre-planned, because his daughter, which he denounced in the beginning, of course, when she revealed herself, mentioned how there's going to be a satellite at a particular point on that moon of Jupiter that he needs to be aware of, since he's going to be going to Dr. Manhattan's like Paradise Island within a year or something. So he's basically been planning to get out on this particular time. And he does. And so then he gets on the rocket ship, and then they basically cast him in like gold. And he's a statue for like a number of years, which brings up like that comment that Knight makes about like, wow, that's a really realistic statue of Adrian, Veidt or whatever. When it's really him cast in gold. And then he gets thawed out. Just to see her take upon Dr. Manhattan's powers or something. And then he's just like, so I don't know, Suck Spectre and Dale Gribble get out of there. And they go to Adrian Veidt's place, or they fly there or something. I don't know. They're there. Maybe they got teleported. I don't know. But then Adrian Veidt is like, I control, like, so he's actually the one controlling the squid weather out of his, like, Arctic base. And he decides to freeze them so they can basically be like bullets coming from the sky and they kill everyone. And Knight's able to get out of there. She's able to see her kids in the theater with her grandfather. And that... So, but then it ends with like her... That Dr. Manhattan might have given her some of her power or something. Relating to how... Like this egg didn't break. And... She's about to walk on water, and then it just cuts, and then that's the end of the episode.
Yeah, that's how it ends. Reminded me of the movie Inception, where like there's some top that's spinning at the end to like show whether it's a dream or not, and then
it
ends, that's whether it falls down or not.
I'm surprised you remember that much of the movie.
Well, that's what I remember about the movie. Like the twist ending or whatever. That's like what everybody talked about with that movie. You know? Yeah. And other than that, I remember there's like some like dream cities that are like upside down or something.
Uh huh.
I think the girl Ellen Page is in it as like some sort of student of something. That's designing these weird like dream rooms or something, and there's a guy like going up and down in an elevator to different floors in the dream. I mean, it's a weird movie. I couldn't really summarize like what it was about or explain it or anything, but
I just know that like if you go within a dream within a dream within a dream within a dream, like you drastically slow down time the more dreams you get into. Which I guess that sort of makes sense, because like you could have a dream that seems like it goes on forever when it's been like one night. So it's like you have a way of constantly slowing down time or something.
Is this like rapid eye movement or whatever that happens when you're in like a deep slumber?
Oh,
I don't know about any
of that stuff. I'm just thinking of what I sort of remember from that movie. It's been a number of years since I've seen it.
Oh well, I don't know how much they're relying on like real dream physics or whatever, or if they just kind of made it up.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been years since I saw it too. I think it was probably around the time that Dark Knight 3 came out.
I think you might be right.
It came out between 2 and 3, I think, of Dark Knight.
Okay.
And then I saw it like a little later on television. But I saw Interstellar not too long ago by Nolan, which was an interesting movie.
That's a cool movie.
And I still have to see Dunkirk.
Dunkirk's a great movie. I saw that a couple years ago.
You can tell from this that we'd rather talk about things other than Watchmen.
I'd rather talk about Christopher Nolan than Watchmen. Yeah. I mean, I kind of just summed up like what happens in Watchmen. So supposedly, like, what was it? Like, Silk Spectre was just like, I'm placing you under arrest. And he's just like, you can't arrest me. I just saved the Earth again. Why would you want to do a thing like that? And then he gets, like, knocked in the head from Dale Gribble. So, like, Adrian Veidt's going to prison because he also, like, it's the fact that he committed... he murdered 3 million people in the '80s, and yeah. You know, now he's got to pay time for that. And he also murdered more policemen in Oklahoma, and like white racists or whatever the heck. Mm. So, someone's got to do the time.
Yeah,
and I think they made it sound like they weren't going to bring back Watchmen. They were like, it's a one and done thing. We don't want to do another series, and I hope they don't. But
I hope so too.
Yeah, we'll see when somebody signs a paycheck and they're like, oh, okay, I guess we'll make more Watchmen.
Yeah, they designed this as like to tie it all in together in one season in case they don't get extra seasons.
Yeah,
and I think that they did that. I mean, they tied up most of the loose ends here, and I don't really see anywhere else for them to go. They were doing a comic book sequel to Watchmen not too long ago also, which was just finished about a week ago. And I had been following that, Doomsday Clock.
Yeah.
And I guess since I don't really have much to say about this actual episode, you know, it's not like a particularly political episode or anything where you got a lot to like tear apart or whatever. It's just like, you know, explaining all the stuff with what Ozymandias' plan was and what the senator's plan was and all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of just self-explanatory. Like, you see the episode and it explains what the rest of the show is about. But the comic book wrapped up and they made like some changes to the DC universe where they brought back the Justice Society and the Legion of Superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
Because Dr. Manhattan was messing around with time and different universes from the past that he's brought back. I think this was DC trying to reverse the New 52 period and bring back some of the elements that were in their comics before Flashpoint, because some of these superhero teams got rebooted or changed over the years, so they're trying to bring it back, the ones that people remember that are considered classics. And so I guess this is their way of rebooting some of these teams, and I think Doomsday Clock had some pretty good art, but the story was really not much to write home about.
Yeah,
it's basically just like, oh, what if Superman met Dr. Manhattan and they fought, and so that was kind of what the last issue was. And you know, Dr. Manhattan is so overpowered that you can't really do a good fight scene with Dr. Manhattan, because he can just do anything. He can see everything. He knows what's going to happen.
Yeah.
He's just like such an overpowered character that he can be kind of annoying to try to incorporate into an actual story, because like any weakness he could have, you'd be like, well, why does he have this weakness when he's like this godlike character that knows and does everything, you know?
Yeah.
Which was kind of some of the stuff we touched on last week. Our last episode
recording we had, which was our Christmas episode, so...
Yeah, which was just asking how could this guy be defeated by this this weapon or whatever that these guys had that they used on him. Because it seemed like they had defeated all those guys, and then he still got zapped, you know?
I don't know. I can't even process that, but... I don't know. Watchmen is over, and I'm happy. I mean, like the last episode. I mean, it was a good episode. I just like. I don't know. I just like. I'm glad I'm done with that. So.
Right. Yeah. As soon as it was over, it's like, okay. Like, I guess we're probably not going to record on it for a little while, so I'll just like not think about this for a bit.
Yeah.
And move on to other things. So yeah, there's not much more to say about it. And
good.
I guess.
Good, because I just
let's move on to Star Wars.
Yeah, so I actually enjoyed the last Star Wars movie, and I went into this without any kind of preconception regarding it being a good movie or bad movie. We didn't have like someone like Viku that came on and was just like, "Oh, this movie's a piece of shit. Let me tell you why," for like 3 hours on a text chat, which is what he did with 8. But even like even I think without Viku on there, I would have had like a lot of more gripes with 8 than I was perceived to have. But this one, like, I was satisfied with like how it ended and how J.J. Abrams kind of tied up some loose ends from episode 8 the best he could, and I think he did a decent job. One of those being that Leia has Jedi powers because Luke was training her to be a Jedi at one point. And they did a brief flashback on that. So I was like, okay, that explains why she could just do the stuff that she did, because they trained for a period of time. So that's how she was able to get some Jedi powers.
Yeah, because in the original Star Wars movies, they, like Luke, even though he has a high midichlorian count or whatever to be able to use the Force, mm-hmm. he does not really have the innate, just like, intuition to do it, you know, like, you have to be trained by a Jedi to be able to do it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan sought out Anakin. That's mm-hmm. why Obi-Wan had to train Luke, because they have to give him guidance on how to actually get these powers out of him.
Yeah.
So, because Star Wars is very much about master and apprentice, like, both on the light side, on the dark side. That's mm-hmm. one of the core dynamics that's mm-hmm. always there. So that's why it's kind of like, well, why was Rey so overpowered during all this? Like, no one really trained her prior to episode 7. But she's all this, like, major action hero who can do anything right away, which was like, people kind of like, she's this Mary Sue that's overpowered and everything.
Yeah.
And so in this, they try to explain, like, why is she so powerful? And so they have this explanation that she's the, spoiler alert, granddaughter of Emperor Palpatine.
Yeah, How did you feel about that? Because honestly, like, I don't have an issue with that. And my thing is the fact that there's always been this saying since I watched the Ultimate Club was like, there's no body, no death. Because we saw Palpatine fly, you know, fall off the, you know, the thing into the, in the Death Star. But then also the fact that the same thing happened to Darth Maul, but then Darth Maul was alive in Clone Wars.
Yeah, and it's Solo.
Yeah, and then all you see Palpatine that's basically like a like hooked up to a computer or something, and so like he got recovered by the Sith or whatever that were still under the shadows. He wasn't the only one. They take him to this planet and he's basically been building this empire this entire time, like this final order or whatever they called it, and so he can basically take over the galaxy. And just thinking.
They show him in this sort of evil lair where he's got like a bunch of clone bodies of him. And I guess they explained that Darth Sidious was a clone of his that he had been using in the previous two movies to carry out his plans.
I did not know that. This Emperor Palpatine that we saw in episode 6 was a clone?
No, the Palpatine in the prequels and the original trilogy was the original body, but then, like, after he survived the death, supposed death scene at the end of 6, he started, like, making clones of himself to try to reestablish an empire while he was weak, so that's what Snoke was. It was, like, some sort of clone of his that he had created to manipulate Kylo.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, the character was always, like, considered to be a clone, even if he was not, like, literally a clone. People would refer to him as being, like, a Palpatine clone, because he plays the exact same role as Palpatine and acts the exact same way, so just make him literally a clone.
See, now they kind of bring, see, like, all this movie was cleaning up the mess of 8, and I feel like J.J. Abrams did an excellent job, because, so he, now that you kind of explained that, that does make sense, regarding, you know, Snoke had just being, you know, like, just a clone. Like, he didn't, like, you know, they kill him off like it was nothing. And then he realized he was just, like, you know, this puppet behind Palpatine or whatever. So that actually does make sense. Now there's a connection there. I feel like it's a forced connection, but I feel like that's the best explanation to that.
Whatever was planned with this character to begin with, I don't know if it was always planned for him to be killed off at 8. Probably not. I think probably Abrams had some other plans for him and then had to transfer those over to Palpatine. Mm-hmm. So he just made them be essentially the same character by saying that Snoke was just a clone of Palpatine.
Mm-hmm.
That was all he could do after, like, he was killed on camera. Like, his death was less ambiguous than Palpatine. Like, he was cut in half where everyone could see it in episode 8. so you can't just bring him back because it would be like lame, I guess. It'd be too hard to believe compared to, oh, the other guy just fell down in a hole and like maybe he had like an escape pod down there or something or whatever. I mean, somehow he escaped. So, and it's not that hard to believe. I mean, you've seen in episode 5, Luke falls down that hole. And then he's like falls out some ventilation shaft, and there's like a spaceship to get him and save him.
That was the Falcon that got and rescued him because Leia heard him cry out.
Right, but yeah. You know, somebody like that is around for Palpatine. He's got like a whole army. Like he's gonna have a backup plan to get out.
Mm-hmm. What was it? But yeah, I thought I was gonna go with some. Okay, yeah. So I was talking to my buddy earlier on the phone before we start recording, and apparently what I've understood is that people are really upset, or they're ticked off because they're still butthurt over episode 8. So then some people have been going around saying episode 8 or episode 9 isn't that good, even though they haven't seen it yet. Ugh. Because like for me, it's like I went to this movie with like no preconception with like what it should be for me. So like so that's why I walked out there. I was like, hey, I was actually like really surprised by this movie. I was happy. And I think people were just kind of like just butthurt over 8, and you know, they're like, oh, you know, never Star Wars again or whatever. But you know, based on this one, it's just like, okay, at least they explain things and they kind of illustrated that. And my buddy was telling me about how in this one, like, you know, Rey goes and meets up with Luke again, where she tries to throw the lightsaber. And Ghost Luke is more of a nice guy than actual Luke, because, you know, Ghost Luke was like, you know, you shouldn't mistreat your weapon like that, even though this is the same guy in the last movie that saw her lightsaber and, like, threw it over his shoulder over a cliff, like, not caring or whatever. So
yeah, I think they included that scene to redeem Luke's character. I thought what Rian Johnson did.
Yeah, well, it was also the fact that, like, she's got the Jedi book, so it shows her, like, reading them on the Rebel base. And studying up on stuff. And it was nice that I guess it was kind of like, it's kind of like, you know, whatever, but like, you know, like with C-3PO having to do a whole like computer reboot in his brain, and that kind of causes him to lose all his memories from like all the experience he's had since episode 1, really.
Well, at the end of episode 3, his memories of the prequel trilogy got wiped when he got transferred over to General Antilles.
I do not know. I'm sorry.
I don't know why they did that. I don't know if it was explained in the movie. Maybe it was like to protect him from Anakin figuring out that it was his droid or something.
Uh-huh.
But that was at the very end, like after Luke and Leia were born. And that's why C-3PO doesn't just tell the people in the original trilogy about all these secrets about, like, he doesn't just tell Luke, like, oh yeah, your father is Darth Vader and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So he lost his memories of episode 4 through this first part of 9.
Yeah.
But then, like, 5 minutes later, he's, like, back on that planet with R2-D2. And R2-D2 just re-uploads his memories, so he only really lost the adventure on that desert planet.
So wait, like, do C-3PO and R2-D2 basically have like robot sex to back up data, and they just like do it all night? It's like, oh yeah, you back up your hardcore memory into my slot. Beep boop boop boop.
I had a lot of this, but I wouldn't be surprised if there are like gay people who think that those droids are gay for each other or something. I guarantee that's something that people
you can't sexually add sexuality to a robot unless it's designed for sex and it's only for really for one thing. It's stupid.
Is that what Lando designed his robot for in Solo?
Oh man, I don't. Well, the robot in Solo was to be basically the booty call, robo booty call for Lando. So she had her one purpose, or two, really, as the ship's navigator and booty call. I think Lando and John McAvee would have a lot in comic regarding booties. That John McAvee video is I didn't see the one about being 65 and older, because I respect the man. When he says, if you're under 65, don't watch this video, I'm not going to watch it. I don't want to know, John. But, you know, if he's saying women don't watch it, but men, you should watch it, I said, okay, John, I'm going to watch it. And then he's talking about how, like, the butt is the most beautiful thing on a woman. And how, like, basically it's just like, you know, if you fist a woman, your hand goes up. You know, if you get up more past your wrist up their vagina and they don't die, then that, you're like a god or something. But he's like, you can go up to eat your elbow in their asshole all day you want. Or all, you know, all the time. And it ain't going to help, like, you know, hurt them or whatever. And I'm like, damn, John. Like, I just want to vote for you.
This guy's like the master of oversharing. Like, he's on the run from the IRS. He's, like, fleeing from country to country. And he can't help sending out vlogs about anal sex while he's doing it. He's like, I just can't help myself.
I respect this man's honesty, though. He's a criminal mastermind, but he just doesn't care.
And of course,
his wife is on there to defend him, so it was great.
There's a plot line in the last season of Lupin the Third, where Lupin is, like, traveling the world, and there's these there's this, like, bounty out for him, and he's, like, live streaming all over the world where he goes, and just, like, taunting people, and it just makes me think, like, this is, like, John McAfee if he was an anime. Like, that's even more John McAfee than his profile picture of Joseph Joestar.
Oh my gosh. It's just him. Because, like, Lupin is about getting women and, like, exactly. And basically running from Interpol, which is exactly what John McAfee is doing.
You know that McAfee would identify as a bikini inspector just like Lupin does in
that. Oh, yeah.
In the part two promo that it also made.
Excuse me, big booty inspector here.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
In the opening to part five, Lupin is like, he's in outer space, and he's got this satellite, and he's like zooming in on Fujiko's ass with it, like at the highest, like, quality that he could do.
That's pretty amazing.
And Tsunami had to, like, pixelate Fujiko's breast because she didn't have a bikini top on.
This must be Lupin. This must be a part two of Lupin, right? Red Jacket Lupin or whatever.
there is some stuff like that in part two as well, where Fujiko is bathing topless and stuff. But yeah, I was talking about part five.
Nice.
I do wonder if there's going to be a part six. I bet there will be.
Oh yeah, I mean, Lupin's been so successful for like 40, 50 years. So
yeah.
I mean, there's always a movie or a special every year.
TV in the U.S., because it doesn't really do very well in ratings, but I guess that DeMarco just likes it enough that he airs it.
Yeah.
They even aired the most recent OVA after they finished the series, which was pretty nice of them to do, because they don't usually air OVAs. But the OVA was like a homage to the very first episode of Part 1, where Lupin was in a race, and they showed Lupin traveling back to part one in various moments, and it was pretty cool.
See, you guys told me about it, but I think it was in Texas when this came on, so, like, I couldn't record it, and I didn't know about it, and I was just like, well, someone's going to have a rip of it on my spleen, so it doesn't really matter.
Do people upload new Toonami stuff besides you on there?
Just X Extreme, or just Extreme seems to be uploading kind of stuff. He uploaded, like, a One Punch Man marathon? I've been recording all this stuff or DVRing it. I just haven't recorded on my computer in like months since Super ended. Like, you know what, 3-4 months ago, I just haven't cared about Toonami. I've just been watching Farscape, and that's it.
You should at least watch The Forge just to see the new Tom 6. It's pretty cool. It's
on. I guess it's all on YouTube now. I didn't know about The Forge or anything. I've just been so, like, Saturday night, I just don't want to watch anything, or, like, I'm busy with something. Like, I've been out of not watching Toonami for, like, 4 months.
There's a video on YouTube by Adult Swim that's just The Forge, and it's, I think, about 22 minutes long, and it's all the parts of it.
Okay, so I can live with that.
Yeah.
What was it?
But I really like the new design of Tom. I think it's probably the best one they've had since Tom 3.
I haven't even seen the new design of Tom yet.
I won't spoil it for you.
Okay,
it looks a lot like other Tom designs. So
I should be home Saturday to watch it, so I'll just put on Toonami and watch what the new Tom looks like. So
you're back in South Carolina now.
Yeah, we got back Saturday. Like, we our flight left. We had to get up at, like, 3 to then drive from Seguin to Austin. And then we got to the airport by 5. And by the time we sat down and got to our gate, it was, like, 6 o'clock or whatever. And then our flight left at 7. We got home about maybe 9 or 10 or something. And then we drove out of Atlanta and got home from Atlanta after, like, eating lunch or whatever about, like, 3 o'clock. And then basically I just kind of rested up, and I just didn't do much that Saturday. I was just like, man, I don't want to go anywhere. And then Sunday, and then, yeah, yesterday I did church, and then I hung out with some people, like, all day. Like, I got back into, my brother and I were, been doing tobacco pipe smoking. So we've been, like, we were puffing on their porch, and then, like, the guy got home. And so it was him and his wife, and we're all watching, like, the last two episodes of The Mandalorian and playing Mario Party. So, like, I'm all caught up on Mandalorian. And Mandalorian has been an excellent series. Holy cow.
Yeah, I've seen through episode 6, so I guess we could talk about that one a little bit, which was the one where they had Bill Burr in it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to a Bill Burr action figure. And what was it? Clancy Brown was the big red guy. I didn't even know it was him. And now I want... The what?
The one that looked like Satan, he had like horns, and he was
yeah, that was Clancy Brown.
Okay.
Yeah, now
isn't he like an author or something?
Clancy Brown is Krugan from Highlander, and the, okay. and the demon guy from Venture Brothers.
You know what I'm thinking of? Isn't it Tom Clancy that writes all those like?
Yes, Tom Clancy writes the Ghost Recon books.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
Damn, of. John, get with it.
Clancy, you know, it's not that common.
Oh, man. Clancy Brown is, he's Mr. Krabs and SpongeBob, and okay. he's an all-around, well-rounded actor that talks really deep. That dude is awesome.
Okay.
He was credited in that episode of Mandalorian to 6, so.
Yeah, they go off on, like, a heist with these various different characters with personalities, and,
Yeah.
Then the Mandalorian returns, and then he gets betrayed by the guy who sent him on the assignment.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, it looked like Baby Yoda was going to be killed, but he gets rescued at the last minute by Mandalorian.
Yeah, I thought you were already caught up with 7 and 8, but I have to get you those episodes because I just got back home, and I wasn't even home that day except for like that couple like a couple or a few minutes that morning.
No, I didn't watch 7 and 8 yet. I've been busy playing Link's Awakening, which I just finished on the Switch.
Okay. I've had the Game Boy. I've had the Game Boy version of the game since like 94, and I have never beaten it.
So I've had it for 25 years. There is this one. Well, maybe it's multiple dungeons, but there are areas where you have to tap the wall with the sword to figure out where to bomb. And that kind of bothered me in the old game because I would get stuck and I wouldn't know what to do because I wouldn't want to go through every single room in the dungeon tapping on every single inch of the wall. That's kind of an annoying thing that you had to do in 90s games. It's like pixel hunt. Like especially in adventure games, you have to examine every spot on the map to find what you need to do. and it will be sometimes not obvious at all. But in this, they've improved that by, they add like cracks on the wall where you can, bomb, so that makes it a little easier to notice where you're supposed to bomb, because that was always annoying. There are these cryptic things in the old Zelda games where it's like, how are you ever going to figure that out? Especially
you
on,
figure
like,
it out ones. By subscribing to Nintendo Power. They get you the cheats and codes and walkthroughs and how to beat your games.
That's true. I dug out my
get
old
the power. Yeah.
I dug out my old strategy guide for this because at first I was looking at game facts and it's like they're just describing what to do, but I don't fully visualize what they're talking about. They're not enough screen caps. So I dug out the old strategy guide. They got little pictures of every room in the dungeon. It's like, this is so much better. And I can just have this in my lap. I don't have to go to my computer in the other room where I'm trying to play the game. Like, this is the way it's supposed to be when you're playing a video game from the 1990s.
Oh, what was it? So during Christmas break, I decided to get back into Final Fantasy VIII. And so I had a strategy guide in front of me, but there's apparently this like part of the game where like you have, you basically like you're part of this mercenary group seed or whatever, and to level up your rank in the seed group, you have to like take these exams or test the tutorial section, and you have to like memorize this crap. And I was like, wait a sec, what am I doing? This game is 20 years old. Someone has already got the correct answers by then. So I go on GameFAQs, and I literally find a page of where it's every answer to all the questions. I'm not even looking at the game or what it's reading. I'm basically using my thumb, my thumbs to select yes and no and to enter them in. So I'm just like, okay, no, no, yes, yes, no, no, yes, 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 no. And it's like, you just upped a rank. And I was just like, cheating is so awesome. And I was like, this proves a point where it's like, if you have a video game, don't add tests to it. Because it's stupid. Because people like me are going to cheat. Because we don't care about memorizing everything about Final Fantasy VIII. We just want to enjoy the game and play it so to get more money and to go through the story and enjoy it for what it is. Not to, like, take a freaking test.
Yeah. There's stupid stuff like that in Persona 3 where there's, like, a period where you're taking, like, finals every day.
Oh, crap. I forgot about that.
Yeah, and it's just like, I'm just going to look.
Oh, what was it? There was a trivia section in, it's Rival Schools 2, the fighting game, but it's Project Justice on the Dreamcast, where they have like a testing section. So like, I was playing with my friend's house, and I wound up having that copy anyways, it was a Chinese version, but there's like all these exams you take, and we don't know Japanese at all, we can't read Romanji or whatever. So, or kanji or whatever. So, like, my buddy and I were just basically, like, guesstimating it. And I think he had, like, a better score than I did at guessing. And we were just goofing off in Rival Schools, too. And that same thing happened. I don't even know what they're asking in that game. And the thing is, like, no one's going to bother translating it. Or maybe one day. I don't know. But, like, Rival Schools isn't exactly, like, a top-tier game that people want to translate. It's, like, all RPGs. Because the RPG community has all the translators. And the fighting game community is about fighting. Like, anyone can pick up a fighting game and just go at it. But, anyways.
What kind of fighting game has quizzes?
Rival Schools 2.
That's weird.
Well, it's involving school, so you go at school, you gotta take a test. Yeah.
Heard of this franchise.
Oh, man. They're never gonna... I don't think Capcom's ever gonna make a Rival Schools 3. That'd be great if they did, but I mean...
What year was this from?
Late 90s.
Okay.
Early 2000s kind of thing, yeah.
It's like Dreamcast?
Well, Dreamcast and PS1, but they've never ported that game from Capcom to, like, the digital market, and I wish they would, because that would be awesome. Yeah. And then Limited Run can put it out, and then I'll have a copy of Rival Schools, because I really want it. Anyways, yeah, we got on a tangent about video games and stuff. Was there anything else in Star Wars that stood out?
No, not really. At one point, they made it seem like they'd killed off Chewbacca, but then that was not the case.
Oh, yeah.
So they didn't really kill any major characters here, other than, I guess, Kylo Ren and Palpatine.
Well,
but they were evil. They were expected to die.
Well, the best part of the movie for me was when Kylo Ren and Rey kissed. I was like, finally, something's happening. There's a romantic plot. And
Princess Leia died, too.
Oh, well, boo freaking who there. Like, yeah. I literally didn't cry. I was just like, oh, and I was like, I was with my cousin. It's like, oh, thank God they found a way to actually kill her off.
Okay.
Now that settles that. No, but like, you know, freaking Kylo Ren and Rey kiss. And it's just like, oh, man, good. Now, like, something happy can happen. Like, and then, like, you know, Kylo Ren disappears. I look over at my cousin. I'm just like, what is this fucking bullshit, man? I was like, you gotta be kidding me.
I don't think that guy was ever going to be redeemed. He's performing the role of Vader in this film, where he's torn between the light side and the dark side. You know, he's got the Vader helmet and everything, and and at the end he betrays his master and dies in the process. I mean, everything in this is a rehash, really, of the Revenge of the Sith. Not Revenge of the Sith, but Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Because that's how Star Wars is. It's like a cycle of, you know, certain things happening again and again.
Repeating the same ideas.
Lucas calls it poetry, and they played that over and over in the Mr. Plinkett reviews, I remember.
Yeah. Well, the also thing about the Mr. Plinkett reviews is he was basically like, somebody fuck each other or something. Come on, somebody kiss, damn it. Something happened. Like, I remember him bringing it up. I think it was like The Last Jedi or whatever. And that was a... So I can't wait to hear his review on this.
There isn't one out yet, I don't think.
No, it's not going to be one for a while, but like I can't wait for Mr. Plinkett. But we did get a kiss finally, and it just... It was a tragic one, but at least it's something. And...
Yeah.
Oh, what was it? There was somebody on Twitter, it was like people of color or nerds or whatever, was just like, Rose got a minute and a half of screen time in this entire movie. And I'm thinking, oh, thank God. It should have been less. I was like, yeah. No. Rose had her moment to shine in episode 8. She had her moment in the sun. They gave her that dumbass casino subplot. No, she does not need to be in anything else Star Wars ever. Screw her and all that noise.
Yeah,
I don't care.
She like did badly in the toy sales as well. Like
there was this nobody
this
wants
video
her toy.
Some guy like found the discount bin and the Star Wars toys, and he like piled up all of the Rose Tifa toys
because there was nothing but Rose figures in the discount bin.
And this was like what? Power of Tico, and it was like dozens high. It was hilarious.
Yeah, well, the thing was, it was like what, 6 months after that movie came out, and he's just like, "Here's Rose toys. They're all on discount. Nobody wants this figure. Nobody cares about Rose."
Yeah.
At least for me, like at least I would care about getting a Bill Burr action figure. So I'm good with that.
That's kind of like the objective market proofs that movie was not so good. And if the new ideas and characters they brought in were not good, is that, like, people just didn't care. Like, kids didn't like it. Like, these are really fundamentally kids' movies. Like, you watch the original Star Wars. It's really just a fun kids' movie about aliens and space fighting and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because that's how I got into it, was because I was a kid.
Right. Yeah, that's when I saw the first movie. When I was, like, I don't know, probably 5 years old or something. So I don't know what it is. And I never saw the special editions until this year. I watched them on TV, you know, a few months ago before this came out, just to see, like, what were the changes? Because I've always heard how bad they were. And,
I think I saw all the special edition movies a couple of years ago, like, all the way through when me and my ex were watching them.
Yeah, I remember you mentioning that.
Yeah, and I was just like, oh, okay. Because I saw Empire in theaters when it came out, when I was in, like, fourth grade or so. And that was, like, really cool, because, like, man, I really want to see a Star Wars movie, so my dad and I went and saw it. And, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Well, Empire was not changed very much for a special edition compared to the other ones.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, like, yeah, Return of the Jedi had more stuff in, like, Jabba's Palace or whatever.
Yeah, they changed the song in Jabba's Palace and the song at the end, and they added in, like, Hayden Christensen. And they did, like, adding Coruscant and Tatooine and stuff at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this Jabba got replaced by CGI and all this. And, yeah, I think that one was probably the most, like, negatively affected by it. Because I think the original Jabba stuff went better than the remake version, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the first song was kind of iconic. Replacing all the characters like that with like CGI models is kind of like one of the appeals of the old Star Wars movies is the practical effects.
Yeah.
So like you try to add in like modern stuff, it doesn't really work. And they've tried to emulate that with the Disney era stuff. Like they were considering making Baby Yoda a CGI creature. But then Werner Herzog said something to them like, "You cowards, keep it!" And then they were like, "Well, we can't defy this film master. We have to keep it a practical effect."
Spoken like a true bro.
And all the Thank Abrams movies, he's always bragging about like, "Oh, we used more practical models here than the prequels did or the original movies did. Look at how much practical effects we include."
Well, okay. I mean, they had to add some, like, that face CGI stuff. So, like, they had, like, young Leia training with young Luke in that one scene. And it actually didn't look that bad, I didn't think. Because there wasn't a whole lot of light on it. But, like, you could tell it was, like, young Leia and Luke. And, like, it worked, I guess. But, like, you can definitely tell it's CG.
Well, they did that in Rogue One at the end, too. Where they had the CGI young Leia. And that was good, too.
Yeah, Peter Cushing was CGI'd, and so was Carrie Fisher.
Yeah. But they do a realistic enough job. I mean, CGI has advanced so much since, like, Final Fantasy, The Spirits Within. Yeah. People were like, this is this uncanny valley that we'll never get through. And it was, like, 2001 or something. And it's like, you know, this is, like, the early years of CGI still. Like, they're going to get through this valley.
It's interesting that came out, and then, like, Shinji Aramaki was like, this opens up a whole new world to make anime adaptations of CGI. And I'm going to start with Appleseed. And then I'm going to start with, after that, after making 3 or 4 Appleseed movies, the Resident Evil ones. And then you've got the Starship Captain Trooper Harlock ones, and then Halo Legends, and the Captain Harlock movie. And that is Shinji Aramaki's bread and butter, is making those CGI movies.
Yeah. Yeah, his stuff is still kind of uncanny valley, because I guess that's the budget Japan has compared to Hollywood. But he has his own style where you can tell it's his movie. You can see it.
Yeah.
I guess it does well for him, because he's been doing it for so long.
That's true. I can't think of anything else with Star Wars.
I watched the James Rolfe review of it today, and they seemed like they were really burnt out on Star Wars. They were like, they shouldn't make any more movies. Rolfe was kind of the opinion, and he had been saying this since before Episode 7 even came out, that they shouldn't continue on, because once Vader is dead, it's kind of like, well, the first 6 movies were basically about Anakin's story of falling into the dark side, and then at the end, redeeming himself. So how are you going to do this without this core character? I think that's a good point. But then he says, well, it's still, even though I don't accept these in my head as canon, they're still interesting as a sort of potential, like, what could have happened afterwards? Like, how would this play out?
I like how James Rolfe is, like, the voice of, like, I guess, sort of reason. It's like, no, I don't accept these as canon at all. This is all BS to me. It's nice fan fiction, which is what we were saying, what I was saying years ago with when Episode 7 came out. I was just like, you know, this is just fan fiction to me. I mean, like, I don't really care.
Right.
And then, like, you've got, like, Rogue One and Solo, which are just, like, basically expanded editions on film fan fiction. Because I guess with James, it's like, you know, if George Lucas isn't directing it, it's not a true Star Wars movie. Or if he has no involvement with it, but, like, it's hard for me to, you know, but it's hard for me to take these new films seriously. But, like, with Episode 9, I was like, okay, I can live with, like, this being the end of, like, this trilogy of 7 through 9.
Yeah, I think it was probably the best one of this trilogy, and then maybe The Force Awakens afterwards. Although they're pretty close to each other, they both have a lot of themes.
I didn't like Force Awakens because, I mean, I already said all that stuff in, like, in our episode of Force Awakens, but, like, my thing was just, like, I can't stand this character. She's just too perfect. She's just annoying me, and, you know, yada yada. At least in this one, there's an explanation, so everything ties together.
That's true.
So, like, I can, like, and it's interesting if I went back and watched, like, 7, 8, and 9 again and just see, like, if there's any connectivity to it, because I know that's exactly what Star Wars nerds are doing right now. Now that everything's kind of making sense, but and I wonder if people are going to actually have, like, all these, like, tie-ins to, like, you know, there might even be, like, apologists for, like, Rian Johnson, like, in the future, where it's like, Rian Johnson really knew what he was doing when he made Episode 8, and here's why, and it's like another bull crap reason as to why Episode 8's better.
And, oh, there already are people like that.
Man, get
that, you know, those people, the Rose Tico fans that were all upset that this was not like another Last Jedi.
I don't understand how Rose Tico has fans.
Yeah. Oh, well, they were like, well, she was a POC that was bullied off social media by trolls, and then they demote her to only 1 minute of screen time. They've caved in to these Nazis and to blah, 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 all this stuff. Yeah, they were really butthurt about that. Like, this was the only, like, reception that it was given on Twitter moments. It was like, people respond to the treatment of race, sex, and gender in this, and they were like, oh, Disney, they're so weak. They removed the same-sex kiss from the release in Singapore and United Arab Emirates.
I think it was meant to be edited out for international, because they just, like, briefly threw that in there. It wasn't part of any plot point. If you remove it, it doesn't add or take away anything to the film. So if it's gone, I think I might have, like, blinked or looked away or something, or I was looking at something else instead of that. But it was like a 2 second thing, and it's like, oh, yay, lesbians kissing each other. And it's just like, all right, but you can move on. And then if you take it out, it doesn't change anything. It's just there as filler, just to kind of slowly appease the LGBT community.
What part of the movie was it even in?
It was at the very end when, like, they blew up Palpatine and everyone's hugging each other on, like, the jungle planet or something.
Okay.
It was in one quick scene. That was it.
That where Leia and R2-D2 were for most of the movie?
Yes, that place.
Okay. Yeah, so maybe I did see it and it just didn't register with me. But it was so much going on so quickly.
Yeah.
Like, I remember they're showing, like, the Ewok planet and stuff, and, like, all these random shots at the end of people celebrating, and it kind of just, like, at that point, it's like, you're not really paying that much attention because it's kind of over already.
Yeah.
But, that was obviously just thrown in to appease LGBT. People would complain if it was not there. And they complained anyway, because there was not, like, the centerpiece of the whole story being about
it. It wasn't an essential plot point. Of course, they're not happy with it, but who freaking cares?
Yeah, this is the same thing they did with Endgame, because they threw something in there to appease to with, like, the gay therapy group character.
Oh, yeah.
And but, like, if you take out, but
the thing is, like,
this.
It's these scenes that, like, if you take it out of the movie, it changes absolutely nothing from that scene or the entire movie.
Yeah, in other words, there was no need for it to be there to begin with.
Yes.
But they felt the need to do that because they don't want to get criticized, but there's no way to avoid being criticized by these people.
You just don't give in. You just don't give them what they want. That's how you live a happy life, when you don't give in to people's demands. Because when you do, they're not going to be happy, because it's not the way they want it. Because their version of Star Wars is people lesbian kissing the entire time. Instead of Kylo Ren, it should have been Rose that was a Jedi the whole time. And so then they can have a lesbian kiss. And then Rose was going to disappear or something. I don't know. But
that was
anyway.
Literally something I saw in the, like, POC respond to Star Wars.
Damn it.
They were like, okay, first off, there was, like, black people that were like, wait, why is Rey not with Finn? When Finn keeps saying that he has something to tell her, why can't he just confess his love and get them together?
Wait, did
and
they
why
ever
can't
explain
Rey be
it?
Black?
I don't even remember if he actually explained, like, what he wanted to say. It was just kind of like, that was a throwaway thing, too. And I think if you take that out, it's not going to do anything to the movie. It's not.
I think that was just there to hint that he might like her or something like that. But, and then they had others that were like, well, why is Rey not a lesbian? This is offensive to LGBT community. And,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, there were just, like, a lot of takes like that were in there. But I hadn't seen really any, like, substantive criticism of the plot or anything, other than some people were like, so you're saying Rey gets all her powers from a man? Darth Sidious?
Oh my god.
This is sexist. She's supposed to be a girl who got there all by herself with girl power.
No, because that's why the first part of these movies sucked, because it was all girl power. Now you have a reason why she's powerful and why she's as good as she is, and then it's all from Palpatine, who's like the strongest Sith or whatever, and like freaking like uses lightning beams to take down ships at his will. Like, that's some bad juju to mess with. And the fact that she's inherited that, and she can't explain it, That makes her character way more interesting. So good for J.J. Abrams to do that.
Yeah, I mean, everything in Star Wars has to have a family connection, I feel like. Right. Lucas infamously says, like, it's a soap opera in space or something like that. Or space opera, you could call it.
Yeah.
Where it's about these family ties between Anakin and Luke and Leia mm-hmm. and all these characters. And so to have this character just be some nobody the way Rian Johnson wanted it, where she was just the daughter of some random people, and she just suddenly has the Force for no reason.
Yeah.
That was like something that I guess leftists were into. They were saying, like, oh, this is proof of, like, he supports people power and not this, like, stuffy aristocracy of this white male George Lucas. But yeah, now they tie her in with this, like, evil Sith Lord.
That goes against the lore of Star Wars. It's like, you know, then it's like, it's not the Force anymore. It's like, independence and, like, individuality, and which is a bunch of nonsense to me.
Yeah, that's the core problem with the Rian Johnson thing, was that it was, like, anti-Star Wars interpretation of Star Wars that, like, didn't get what Star Wars was all about. And was,
yeah,
like,
which is why even make that in the first place.
Yeah. That was why Abrams should have just done all three, and this other guy, like, why did he get brought in?
Rian Johnson could have served J.J. Abrams coffee, and J.J. Abrams could have splashed it on his face and said, go make me another one, and that's the worth of Rian Johnson to me, because...
Don't you think in another few years there'll be something like, you know how they redid the Superman 2 movie to make it like the Richard Donner cut? Don't you think they'll do something like the J.J. Abrams cut of Star Wars?
Oh,
8?
No, they did one... They did, what was it, that cut for Highlander 2 or whatever. Like, that was also another one, too. So,
yeah.
You know, that actually would help. I would see that if there's a really good cut of Episode 8 to make all that make sense, then I would definitely check that out, yes. And I think there's going to be people on, like, original trilogy that have already, like, conscripting, like, some sort of cut for all this to blend together. And then you can basically watch it all together, and it's going to make absolutely perfect sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I know people did that with the prequels, and there was somebody who attempted to do a no-feminism version of Episode 8, editing it, but yeah, I don't think that's going to really work. I think you need to do reshoots. Although, I guess people can creatively incorporate footage.
Okay, so,
I have no idea how this Princess Leia footage was incorporated so well into this. Where it seemed like she was talking about what was happening in the movie, even though it was filmed for the last one.
So wait, like, the reshoots is just, like, some people's kids, like, dressed up as, like, you're gonna be Rey, you're gonna be Leia, and it's just like, I can fly in space now, or something. Or, like, it's just some, like, neckbeard with, like, his Star Wars Black Series action figures, like, you know, basically, like, acting them out, like, Gatomax style, just to fill in for footage. if Gatomax made a Star Wars edit cut? Oh my gosh, that would be something.
I'm Ray, and I fix food for the other Jedi, and that's my proper gender role.
Oh man. Oh. Hey man, don't mess with Gatomat. He's using green screen now. That kid is moving up, and he's going places.
Yeah, he's got the advanced movie technology now.
Yes.
Maybe he can help Tim Box film his 6,000-page script of Tim's era.
God, I don't want that to happen. Oh, man, that's the perfect matchup right there. It's just, like, two oddists, like, going at it, and it's, like, you know, just basically the odd couple behind the scenes or something.
Yeah. Gosh. And it's got him at, like, flinging his Hot Wheels at the wall, and he's like, imagine this is a car, car flying through space.
Oh, yeah, so, anyways, I guess we can do quick closing remarks or something. I mean, I wasn't going to get into, like, what I got for Christmas, but I got a couple of things and yada yada. Well, we can do, like, mini closing remarks and we can record more later because it's kind of late for me. But, anyways, so, yeah, Tim Box has re-titled his movie. Instead of being Tim Czaris, it's, what is it called now?
Oh, good question. Let me pull it up. I'm sure I posted about it recently in the chat.
You posted about it a bunch, like, today and yesterday in the chat. I'm looking
Yeah, he keeps posting about his, like, New Year's resolutions and stuff. Here's one he posted just recently. It's time to say goodbye to not only this year, 2019, but also the turbulent decade that is the 2010s, for the last day will come tomorrow. In other words, when 2020 really comes, I'll be working on my massive epic movie script for the next few years or so. I'm just saying. And then there's a picture of a car zooming through the galaxy with this big red tail behind it, like it's a comet.
It's so he titled it as Vision Quest, A Dream Odyssey. That is the new title from Tim Czaris. And so he's going from like a 100-page screenplay or whatever to he's going to work on a 6,000-page or so screenplay for a sprawling, ambitious sci-fi fantasy epic movie project of mine. It would either be Dexter's Odyssey or Vision Quest, A Dream Odyssey.
Yeah, he sent out Christmas greetings to Daft and Vivian and Josh, I noticed.
I didn't get anything, but I'm not too worried about it. So
neither does I. I'm disappointed.
We're not that important. I mean, we talked about his script on the podcast, but
he left us a comment on that.
He did, yes. And I did respond, and he's like, oh, "What did you guys think?" And I was just like, "We talked about it in the episode. we've got time codes, and you're welcome to try to sit through a 4-hour podcast to listen to what we said about it for 10 minutes." But you're probably not going
to
do that.
I don't think he knows how to play a podcast.
Oh, gosh.
It's too complicated. It wasn't around in the 1990s. He didn't learn that skill as a child. Okay, there's a reply to this. Somebody said, hey, you working on that movie script there, Ryan, are you? And then Tim replies, well, not yet, for I'm biding a little time before the clock strikes midnight tomorrow, so I can work on it for the next few years or more, or so. God. And remember, I'm not actually Brian. I'm actually called Tim. So don't get my name mixed up, please. And then this other guy replies, oh, I was quoting Family Guy, LOL. I guess this is something Stewie says.
Oh, man. That's a good shot right there at Tim Box. Because Brian's thing was that he would never finish a book. And that was, like, the running joke, and so, like, I get it now.
Yeah.
So Tim Box got trolled there. I get the joke. That's good.
I don't think Tim Box got the joke.
No.
I'm not sure if Tim Box has ever seen Family Guy.
So, like, if him and Gatomat work on the movie together, then Gatomat can show him a bunch of Family Guy stuff. But then,
yeah, Gatomat can introduce him to Family Guy.
But then also...
But I don't want that to happen, because then the dog flying in the car is going to become, like, some, like, snide liberal like Brian.
Oh, my gosh.
The dog is going to be, like, and they go to the dinosaur planet, he's going to be just, like, commenting on how the dinosaurs are racist or something.
Oh, my gosh.
I guess dogs. Who knows?
Oh, man.
I guess that might actually help for the first part when they're fleeing from the Republican army.
Yeah, that would make sense. That's Family Guy tier stuff right there for sure. You got anything else to say about Star Wars? Because I'm about to fall asleep, to be honest.
No.
All right. I guess we can always do like a closing remarks segment, like probably Thursday or Friday or something. Friday, actually, I'm going to be out, but Thursday night would work for me.
Do you want to talk about your vacation or something?
I mean, I can for a few minutes, and I need to go to bed. So, okay. Yeah, I went to Texas for Christmas. I had a great time seeing relatives the first time in a few years. just thinking here, hacking up stuff. I know that I had this thing where my parents wanted to move to Texas, and I was like, no way, I'm not going to do it. But now, like, after being there and actually kind of just really driving around and seeing Texas and, like, kind of just enjoying it and my time, I'm kind of working on trying to move there, actually. So I've got extended family members that live in a town called Three Rivers between Corpus Christi and San Antonio. And most of the family are school teachers in that area, so they're, like, well-established in the school system. So they can, like, basically get me into that town and into a job there. So I emailed one of my cousins my resume, so we'll just kind of see how that goes. Wait, what town do you live in Texas?
College Station.
All right, I'm going to look up the distance between, let's see, Three Rivers, Texas.
It's probably about 3 hours from here.
Yeah, probably you're right, because, like, Three Rivers is, like, about an hour and a half from New Braunfels, which is where, like, my, a lot of my family lives. So, let me go to Google Maps here real quick.
It says it's 3 hours, 40 minutes from my location to Three Rivers.
Yeah, because if I live in Texas, then, like, basically, yeah, this is a town of, like, 2,000 people. So they have a small school system, but I was told, like, the students are very respectful, and I'm like, I can do that. Let's see, they got a Dollar General. Most of these small towns in Texas, like, you know you've made it as a small town when you have a couple of Mexican restaurants and a Dairy Queen. They have their Dairy Queen store, so they're up there. Let's see, they got a car wash, they got a Lutheran church, which is probably where a lot of people go to, I don't know.
Yes, that is probably.
They got an apartment community? Curious. There's a bunch of patio furniture. This looks ghetto as hell. There's a bunch of patio furniture in parking lots. Like, what the fuck is this?
I'm zooming in here, and there's, like, Taqueria Vallarta, and then a couple blocks over, Taqueria El Tapatillo.
That's probably owned by the same family.
And then there's Sonia Hyun's Bistro.
Oh, they got a Baptist church. Can't go wrong with that. They got one high school. They got the baseball field. Let's see here. They got a football. Well, football's so big in Texas anyways, it doesn't matter. Let's see. They got a Seguin Avenue. I guess that takes you straight to Seguin, huh? Interesting. I mean, like, I heard it has, like, 2,000 people in this town, but the positive thing is it's right off the interstate. So, like, I'm right off Interstate 37. Drive up 37, bam, I'm in San Antonio, or San Hambonio. And I can basically take that to get the 410 to Interstate 35 to get the New Braunfels, or I can take Interstate 10 to get to Seguin. So,
have you been to the Riverwalk and the Alamo?
Yeah, we got to do the Riverwalk a little bit. We got to eat at one of the Mexican places there with my cousin. Shoot, what was it? There was I'm thinking. I noticed in Seguin, because it's like once you get past New Braunfels a little bit, it becomes hill country. Around that area, like Canyon Lake or whatever. But like Seguin area is just like flat farmland. So like it was nice to know that like I could see where I needed to go 3 miles out, because there's nothing between that except for like maybe like a couple of tractors and some power lines. And it was a nice change of pace, to be honest. I didn't really mind it. And I went to a town called, I can't even remember the name of it. Looking it up. Shoot, I think it's West, actually. Where the heck? All right, it's near Blanco, yeah. So my cousin took me and my brother up to hang out with a buddy of his in Blanco. Which is like, yeah, it's another one that's north of, San Antonio, a little bit more past Canyon Lake. It was a night. It was like the town downtown was lit up like really nice on Christmas, so they had like all the lights out and stuff. So, and so like we're all kind of near San Marcos. Like I heard San Marcos has like a killer like college station or college radio station. Oh, that's where Texas State is. Okay.
Oh, that's where my mom went to college.
Okay.
Well, then she transferred to A&M, but she went there for a year.
Yeah, it looks like I can basically, from where I'm at, yeah, there's Corpus Christi right there. Yeah, it's roughly an hour in between, I can see it. Like, I can basically, there's a San Diego, Texas, that's interesting.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's Victoria, Texas, which I've heard about. Like, I can basically kind of just take all these back roads to get to, like, Interstate 10, and then take, like, another road to get up to, what is this, 36 or something to get up to College Station. So you're probably right about, you know, being about 4 hours or so. Which to me isn't, like, all that bad. Because, like, you know, and there's a lot of big, there's a lot of big cons in Texas, too.
Like, there's a con called Ekman's Toy Show that's every 3 months or so. That I go to in San Antonio.
Yeah, usually. So we can meet up at the Edmonds Toy Show.
Yeah, I was just looking up when the next one is. It's January 11th.
I'm not going to be there.
Probably. Okay. You're not moving that soon.
Yeah, I don't think. I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen. So, okay, I see Fort Hood here next to the temple. Yeah, but they got like Project Akon in Dallas. And San Antonio's got a bunch of stuff, so it's definitely going to be a change of place.
There's anime cons around here too.
Oh yeah, there's going to be some in Houston. Like I know, like PAX or Rooster Teeth is in. They have their con in Austin.
Yeah, well, this is one of the main areas for the anime industry because you have Funimation,
yeah,
and Sentai and all that stuff around here.
There's a town called Flatonia off Interstate 10. Flat, you can't go wrong with Flatonia. And I say Shiner, home of Shiner Beer.
There's a town in Texas where there was a shooting this weekend called White Settlement.
White Settlement, yeah.
Yeah, people were getting upset about this. And they were like more angry that there was a town called White Settlement than that there was people killed there.
I told my dad the name of the town. He starts laughing. He goes, well, that's not racist.
Well, it was actually named by Indians. And they were like, oh, this is the settlement where the white people live around here, so we're just going to call it the White Settlement. And then the white people heard that, and they're like, you know, that sounds like a pretty good name for a town. We're just going to call it that.
That sounds pretty good right there.
I read the Wikipedia article, and it said they were having trouble getting businesses to move there because the businesses didn't want to get called racist. So the city council tried to rename the town to a Western Settlement. And the town voted it down 10-1. referendum, and like 2,500 people voted to keep the name, and like 250 voted to change it.
Man.
They're like, no, we're the White Settlement.
There's a town called Eden, Texas. It's literally just like, it's between 87 and 83. It's in West Texas. This is interesting.
If you scroll through the map of Texas, you'll find thousands of little towns. There's one called Texas Palestine, where my
Palestine
family lives. Yeah, it's pronounced Palestine. I've heard like both my grandparents who used to live there call it that, and I've heard Ron Paul mention it at one point and call it that.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, it's pronounced that way, even though the Middle Eastern area is pronounced differently.
Well, I mean, you can take 190, which is 21 to 287, I'll take you straight to Palestine or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of looking at this map.
That movie where there's like they're calling him Frankenstein, a young Frankenstein, and he's like, no, it's Frankenstein.
Yeah.
He keeps correcting him.
Yeah, but the thing is, like everything on like with Texas is like on a grid regarding farm roads, like it's all squares, especially when you get to flat country.
Oh yeah, if you look at the counties, there are these little counties in North Texas that are like just a few square miles and only like a few hundred people live there.
Yeah, I have a feeling that definitely where I am trying to get a job at is that is no different. So, yeah, it's a very, like, I think most of the kids there are, like, into FFA or something, Future Farmers of America, I mean, Farmers. So, look, I'm a suburb kid. We always make fun of the rednecks, so sue me. But, yeah, this looks pretty flat, because I'm just seeing a bunch of just, like, basically hexagonal roads. I don't know, I don't really care. I mean, I might actually like it here, so, and, like, I'm not far from my family, so I can always, like, take a weekend trip or something, and we can always meet up, so drive out to your area. So you call it, yeah, just kind of go from there. Yeah, I just like I was in Texas, like, you know, I can, like, just based on what I saw, like, I just really just sucked it in. I was like, man, I could do this.
It's really not that different than South Carolina, I would assume. I've never been to South Carolina.
South Carolina is more humid, and I realized, like, I didn't have any allergy issues when I was in, like, where I was. Like, I didn't really, like, hack up stuff or whatever. Whereas I get into Atlanta, and I taste smog, and I start, like, coughing like crazy. And I'm like, geez, this city's such a shithole. God. But,
There are places like that here, too, like Houston. There's, like, out of control.
Oh,
like,
man, I don't want to go near Houston unless I can try to avoid it the best I can, so... Hey, they got a Heavenly Angel sandwich shop in Three Rivers. And a cake shop. There's the one bar at Three Rivers Bar and Grill. Sounds good. A couple auto places. I got a Lowe's market. Like a Lowe's... Oh, it's like a little marketplace. That's not bad.
Yeah, I was looking at the grid. There's like a donut shop and...
Yeah. I mean, little marketplace is all I need to get my food, and they got like they basically sell like a bunch of like pot like farming stuff, and yeah, why not? As long as there's like somewhat decent internet out here, I can be content with that. They got a Dollar General, so that's everyone's gonna shop at Dollar General, and it's cheaper. So I gotta wonder like where the closest Walmart is. It's probably gonna be like.
Don't have a Walmart in that town?
Hell no. It's too small.
Well, I thought Walmart kind of like was trying to colonize the whole country.
You know, I thought so too. Let me see. Walmart. Let me see if anything pulls up to... No, I don't need my location.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up to see what the closest one is.
The closest one is near Pleasanton and Jordanton. I have to get on 37 to go up to 281 to get to Walmart. I'm gonna see if I can do a GPS thing. Directions. If I lived in Three Rivers. Okay, so just pick Three Rivers.
It's 40 minutes from there to Three Rivers. I just pulled it out.
Oh, actually, there's one in Beeville. So, yeah, there's a 37-minute drive to get to... Yeah.
Okay.
That's not too bad. I just have to, like, basically go out there, get everything I need, and then come back home. And I was like, well, if I miss something, I just got to wait till I... Unless it's like, all right, I got, like, you know, 2 hours to kill, so I might as well just drive out to Walmart half, like, you know, 30 minutes out.
A lot of people hate Walmart, and they're like, I miss the mom-and-pop stores. You know, you'll get the real authentic stores living out there.
Yeah. Beeville's got an art museum. How about that? You know, it never phases me that we talk about Texas one time a year.
Really?
So, yeah. Oh, they got
Because you go out here every year?
Kind of. every few years. Oh, man. So, yeah, they got an HEB... in Beeville. I have to hit that up. My uncle made some incredibly good steak, like thick steak, like New York style steak. And he had like this like, what was it? It was like this bourbon, like honey bourbon or bourbon bacon, like steak sauce or like a sauce to go with it. And it was so good. And he can only get it in an HEB. I was like, that sucks. But...
Well, there's HEBs all over the state. Mm-hmm. The school I went to, the Turk school in the high school, that place was converted from an HEB to a school.
Really?
The Turks bought it up as like a cheap real estate because the HEB had closed.
You know, there's something called Mount Lucas near a lake, and it looks as flat as hell. Like, there's no mountain here. It's just flat farm country. Texas.
That's what passes for a mountain here.
I'm telling you, man, like, I go near, shoot. What are you doing?
Is it this thing like called Yarborough Lake by Three Rivers?
Hold up. I got... Shoot, there's green... Where the heck were we? We went up,
and
like...
Then there's another lake south of there called, like, Lake City, Lakeside. I can't find the name of the lake, but it's just... Looks like there's a few lakes around that area.
I know, like we rode... My cousin, my brother rode motorcycles while I fall behind him in a truck, and we were kind of going along the Guadalupe River. And that was actually pretty fun, because it was actually really hilly in that area. And... So that kind of gets into the Texas Hill Country there. And there's a lake called Canyon Lake that's not too far. So.
And it says they're only an hour from Corpus Christi, too.
The Three Rivers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not far from a town called LaGrange or something, which is that, like, ZZ Top song.
The town, yeah.
No freaking way. There's a Pawnee. There's a Pawnee, Texas. From freaking Parks and Rec. Oh, my... Man, I gotta live out here. They got their one postal service office, and that's probably it. I could be mayor of Pawnee, and just if it's Pawnee, Texas. They got one school district. It's an independent school district.
Next thing you know, you'll be principal there.
Just slide down the hall yelling, "I own this city!" There was a scene from freaking American Dad that what was it, like the Principal Lewis like just slides down the hall like on his knees and he just starts chanting how he runs this city or something. Oh man, we've been going on about Texas for like 20 minutes. I think everyone fell asleep at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, so all right, I'm near a Choke Canyon State Park. You can choke on it. Ayo.
Okay.
A good old dad joke. I think check out the state park. I'm not far from that. I just get on 72 to get there. I'm looking forward to hopefully making this a reality. So maybe I'll hear from my cousin about a job. So we'll see. Anyways, so that's where we're at. In life, kids, whoever made it this long in our podcast, as I'm going around Google Maps, there's a Peggy, Texas. There's got to be a Hank Hill close by.
There probably literally is a hill following it.
Wait, they got Peggy, but it's literally just an intersection and like a farming thing. That's interesting. What? And there's a bunch of cows. This is God's country, after all.
I tried bringing up Hank Hill, but it brought me something called Hawk Hill, which is all the way out in West Texas.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure there might be some pretty cool like comic book shops in Corpus Christi. Oh, Corpus Christi's got an international airport, so I can always just like fly into there or fly into San Antonio if I ever had to leave out for cons or something.
Yeah, that's one of the bigger beach cities in Texas.
Is Corpus Christi like sort of like a shithole town? I've always thought it was.
Well, I don't know. I've not been there.
You need to come stay with me on a weekend. And we're gonna hit up Corpus Christi, hit up the town, do a bunch of nerd crap, and we'll find out if we can come out of that city alive or not.
Don't look up how many people live there. It's like 326,000 554 people, 8th most populous city in Texas.
Okay. Sounds pretty legit. Yeah. They got Delmar College. I don't even know what... I've never been there. Got a Wiener Schnitzel, which is a restaurant. Never been to it.
I think it is regarded as kind of a poor place and like floods a lot and stuff.
Yeah, well, it's right near the coast. Of course it's going to flood.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. I need to go to bed, man. So I got a long day ahead of me.
Okay, we can be breaking recording for a while if you want, because I'm not real sure what else we have planned now that we finished with Star Wars. And,
we need to get back into talking about Japanese cartoons. That's what this podcast is about.
You're not really watching anime anymore, though, are you?
No, I have not, but we can find something.
Okay.
I said we needed to start watching Armored Trooper Votoms.
So that's a good point. I gotta watch that.
But then we talked about Red Photon Zillion from like 2 years ago, and I bought that on Blu-ray, and it's sitting on that giant to be watched shelf of mine, and so it's like, all right, we gotta buckle down and watch something together and put it out. Oh. So we need to go back to that. We need to go back to some old crap.
I've watched the dub of that of Zillion. You've seen that, right?
I still gotta rip my tapes to my computer and put it on like MySpain or something. So.
Yeah, and I have the Blu-rays, but I haven't watched them.
I could have sworn I brought those Zillion tapes in. I could have sworn I did, but...
Yeah, that Blu-ray of Zillion, I love how the box looks like it's like a beat-up old VHS tape.
Yeah, I like that.
When I first got it, I was like, did this get damaged in the mail? Like, what's the deal here? And then I looked at it, and it's like, oh, it's like supposed to look like that.
Yeah. All right, man. I'm going to go ahead.
Okay, we'll see you next time, and we don't know what it'll be about, but it'll be something.
Yeah, we'll definitely have something to try to kick off 2020 strong. So everyone have a happy new year whenever this comes out, and we will see you next time. Later.
Later.
Watch the sunset from my porch. I'll be somewhere down in Texas if you're looking for me. Drinking in that great wide open, soaking up the summer breeze, kicking back and settled in with my family. I'll be somewhere down in Texas if you're looking for me. That's where I got started, where I was born and bred. It's a fire inside.